Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams. Can We Talk Radio comes to you live every other Friday from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, guys, I decided to do a special show on today as I had the opportunity to have a very special guest on tonight's show. Tonight's show is going to be titled, Why Spreading the Gospel of Jesus Christ is Essential. And my special guest on tonight is Pastor David Lynn, all the way from Toronto, Canada. Now, the word evangelism literally means to bring the good message. For a Christian, evangelism is the most important act of obedience to God's revealed will, because there's nothing more important to God who wants all men to be saved, and that's 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, and also 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus' mission is plain, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, Luke 19:10. We know his final command to go and make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Paul also made it clear in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, that preaching the gospel is not about intellectual superiority, but it's about Jesus Christ and him being crucified. And most churches are busy with activities, programs, and ministries, and few churches are truly sending out their members to evangelize those in their communities. The Great Commission has fastly become the Great Omission. So you're likely to find that only one person is being reached with the gospel for every 40 to 60 church members, and you will find that conversions have declined. And where you find numerical growth, you're more likely to find that growth is a transfer of Christians from one church to another, which is not really evangelism. So that's more like sheep shuffling. So could it be that evangelism is dying? So guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. I want to go ahead and introduce my special guest for tonight, my co-host. I want to go ahead and introduce Minister Pamela Stewart, all the way from the Bay Area, California. Pam, how you doing, man?
I'm blessed. Good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be here.
Amen. Pam, what do you think of tonight's topic?
It's an awesome topic because a lot of people don't know the Word of God. A lot of the people are asleep. And, you know, the Bible told us to be sober-minded and to be ready and be prepared. And I think as men and women of God, we are commissioned to help, you know, minister the gospel and share the gospel with family, friends, coworkers, strangers, people that we come in contact with. You know, God will bring people across our path. He may want us to speak into their life and, you know, give them, you know, information concerning the Lord's coming. And so I think it's a good time for us to, you know, encourage each other to continue to do that. You know, it's so needed right now because a lot of people are not preparing for what's ahead and what's about to come. The things that are going to take place, they're not prepared.
Oh, amen.
I just truly believe.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, my next co-host is Minister Dale Lott, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Minister Dale, how are you, sir?
Feeling good. How are you today, man?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, Minister Dale. Minister Dale, we've had extensive conversations about expanding the kingdom of God, and why do you think tonight's topic is so important?
Well, I think it's very important because that's really the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, and if we say that we're Christians, then that has to be our heartbeat. You know, it says that Jesus was actually talking to himself and says that, you know, that he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to reconcile the world back unto God. And so if we're going to say that we are Christians, then we have to have this same heartbeat. We have to have this same mindset. And he came basically to win souls, to win the lost. And it wasn't just about the children of Israel. It was about the entire world. You know, Jesus had a, God had a peace plan for this entire world. And, you know, if anything is going to be done, it's going to have to be done through us. You know, a lot of times we're praying, God, go, you know, go save those people and do that. And really, he's like, that's what you're here for. You know, they're not going to hear the gospel unless we preach it to them, unless we share it with them. And that's the only way they're going to get the faith that is necessary for them to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So it's important for us to be able to reach out and save a hurting world and bring them back to Jesus, because it's not about how good of a life you live, it's whether or not you accepted the free gift that Jesus Christ has already made available to each and every individual.
Amen, amen. Guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, guys, Pastor David J. Lynn is an apostolic, pastoral, and evangelistic figure who has been used to ignite the fire of evangelism amongst believers. He also plants churches and parachurches ministries throughout the entire world. He was born and raised in Toronto, California, and I'm telling his age now. He's actually born in February 1980 and is a sixth-generation Canadian of both Irish and Jamaican lineage. Pastor David is the founder of Christian Positive Space, Stop Bullying, Christians Now, the Dundas Square Church and
yep.
Christ Forgiveness Ministries, and the author of Avoiding and Escaping Relational Ruin and Christ Forgiveness Bible Study Series. It is my pleasure and my honor to welcome Pastor David Lynn to Can We Talk. Pastor David Lynn, how are you, sir?
Praise the Lord. I am wonderful. I'm blessed, and I'm honored to be on this radio station, and thank you for having me.
Amen. You know, for those of you guys listening, there's a reason why I had Pastor Lynn on tonight's show. And I must have watched nearly all of his YouTube videos. I think it's like, man, Pastor, you have like, what, 50, if not more than that? I mean, there's quite a few. And,
yeah.
You know, I was blown away, man. What really stood up was that it was evident that he was flowing in the anointing, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I saw him cast out demons. I saw him lay hands on the sick. And, yes, they did recover. I saw him witness to the unbelievers, such as the youth from the hip-hop culture. I saw him witness to Muslims, people from the LGBT community, and much more. Not only did I witness this, but I witnessed how he performed under pressure. The pressure where, you know, when things got very hairy, I've seen bottles being thrown at him, demons threaten him, people got in his face numerous times. I mean, guys, if you want a true example of how to be Christ-like next to the Bible, then I suggest you watch Pastor Lynn's videos. So, Pastor Lynn, we're going to go into some questions, but before we do that, would you mind blessing us and addressing our listeners for the next 20, 30 minutes?
That's not a problem, man. That's great. Tell me when to begin.
you have the floor, Pastor.
Well, praise the Lord. Thanks for the amazing introduction, but, you know, I'm a simple guy. I came from a broken family, gave my life to the Lord in a prison cell. I was somebody that was failing school, not doing so well, and I was a car thief, a robber, but the Lord spoke to me, and I gave my life to the Lord, and here I am 20 years later. So just for the record, I didn't come from a great family, as per se. I'm a normal person. I'm down to earth, and everything I'm going to share with you is relevant to anybody. It doesn't matter what your background is, as long as you make yourself available to the Lord, he can use you and lift you up. The Bible says he uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. So, you know, when it comes to sharing the gospel and why, I mean, I believe it's very essential for every single believer to be active in sharing the gospel. And I have five solid reasons that I think every believer should take to heart as I'm speaking. And the first one, if you don't mind, I'm just going to share a few thoughts here, is the fact that it's a reflection of our walk with Jesus Christ. I mean, this is number one essential. I mean, the Bible says right off the bat in Mark chapter 1, verses 17, and this is essential. This is when Jesus started out his ministry. The first thing he said is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, in verses 14. But in verses 17, when he addresses the disciples for the first time, he's calling them. He says, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay? So, if we are following Jesus Christ, it's not my words, it's not some evangelist or some crazy, I'm not being biased. The Bible says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. God is going to do a supernatural work in your heart if you start to follow him. He's going to give you a love for people. He's going to give you the desire to be like him. And when we look at the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why? Because he was walking out the heartbeat of the Father. And the heartbeat of the Father is to seek and to save those who are lost. And so reflection of our walk with Jesus is that we will be people that are reaching out to the lost, people that are casting our nets and casting our rods and willing to sit in the turbulent weather and even when the fish come in, to wash them off, to scale off the scales and spice them up and help them so that at least they can be ready for service, okay? So it's a reflection of our walk, and 1 John 2 and 6 spells that out as well. It says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as he walked, okay? So spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel is essential to our walk. There's a few other verses that come to mind. Acts chapter 1, verses 8, he said that you will receive power and you will be my witnesses, okay? So if we truly have Christ in our life, he's going to give us the DNA of his character, of his love, and we will become witnesses, fishers of men, just like him, people that have a desire to see people saved, okay? So number one, spreading the gospel is essential because it's a reflection of our walk. But number two, it's also a command, okay? And this is something that, I mean, we're living in a generation today that doesn't like to have authority over them, doesn't like to be under anybody, and wants to do their own thing. It's a rebellious culture. The Bible says that in the last days there'll be despisers of authority. So, you know, I understand what's going on in the dynamic. The church thinks that, okay, you know, we're saved by grace. It's true. We're saved by grace. And I believe solidly in grace because I can't do anything without his mercy, without his grace. In fact, I can't be saved without it. I can't live without it. I need his grace throughout the whole process. But his grace does something in me that produces fruit from the Holy Spirit. And it's not necessarily right away, but that's where it's headed. Okay, so, you know, a part of, you know, the DNA of Christ is to you know, be fishers of men, but it's also something that we're commanded to do, and that's a reminder that if we go cold, if we're finding ourselves, you know, falling back into doing our own things, you know, we're also awakened by a command. You know, you've had those times when you go to work, or you wake up in the morning and you don't want to go to work. Like, you know, maybe we went to school for 4 years, got a bachelor's degree, and we went into our calling, you know, we're computer science, you know, computer engineers or something, and we like what we do, but those days that we just physically just don't want to do it. Well, we got the commands to follow. Matthew 28:18 says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Okay, this is something that's a command of Jesus Christ, and so the second reason why it's essential is that we're commanded to do so by our Lord and Savior. And whether or not we feel like it or, you know, that's our authority, okay? And we're going to one day have to face the very Lord of our lives and give an account for everything we have done. And so we got our reflection of our walk. We got the command. But another thing is God called us to establish his kingdom. You know, where do I get that? Right from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, you know, the command of the Lord is to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and to have and to rule and have dominion over the fish of the sea and everything. A part of God's purpose in creating humanity is to allow his image and his glory and his power to be revealed on this earth and to take back and to restore light into the darkness and to bring order to the chaos. I mean, we see that right from the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so that darkness, whatever was there, that form, that lack of form and void, I mean, God's trying to bring meaning and life. The Bible says that we're the salt and the light of the earth. And so when God commanded us physically to multiply, replenish the earth, and rule over and have dominion physically, it's also a spiritual principle. We're supposed to rule and reign spiritually and have dominion. And so the dark things of this world, the demonic forces, the deception, the lies, cannot be thwarted and changed unless Christians stand up. I mean, today I was just, we were at a Bible study at my church, and I was letting people know that, you know, the world needs us, okay? They if we leave this world, judgment is the only thing left to come upon the people. I mean, it's like with Abraham pleading with God to, Lord, save the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. If there's 10 righteous, if there's 5 righteous, but there wasn't even that much for God to save it. And because there was no righteousness, that's why God brought judgment. And so we stand as the salt, the flavor, the spice. I mean, everything good comes from us. And the moment we leave, it's gone. This world would be chaos if Christians were out of the world. So you know, a third reason is his kingdom. You know, God is calling us to establish his kingdom, to bring light, to bring purpose, to bring love, to bring spice. I mean, this is our responsibility, and God's revelation and God's mercy cannot be known. God's ways cannot be known unless we reveal it. And that's so important. People are complaining about politics. I look on the news. I'm from Canada, and I see everything about Trump and that other guy and then that other lady, Hillary Clinton. And everyone's pointing fingers and Black Lives Matter and, the wall that Donald Trump is trying to build that separates Mexico and United States. We're complaining, but the thing is, why are we complaining if we're not willing to bring God's kingdom? I mean, Jesus taught us how to pray. I don't know if I'm still on the line here. I think I am, but Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, that's wonderful. We pray God's kingdom come, but guess what? God's kingdom has come. In fact, not only God's kingdom has come, God's king has already come, and he's established his king in our hearts, which means his dominion is already in our lives. And so if his dominion, truly, if you're a born-again Christian and his dominion is in your life, then that means you will be like Jesus Christ. You'll be reflecting him. You'll be living out his commands. Whoever claims to love him and doesn't do his commands is a liar. Okay, so we're establishing his kingdom and allowing the earth to truly reflect what God wanted it to be. And right now, the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, seems to be reigning. Jesus Christ has all authority, but the Christians seem to be asleep and allowing that authority of the enemy to reign. And you know, the thing is, he doesn't reign. His government, the enemy's government, is a temporary government. It's a temporary thing. But we are the establishment. The true establishment is the Christians, because his kingdom, Christ's kingdom, will reign forever and ever. So we're called to do that. Another thing is, people can't see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. okay? They can't even enter into it, okay? So we have that dominion in us. We're called to establish his kingdom. We're called to reflect who Christ is by command and by our very DNA nature, by the Holy Ghost. But the world cannot even have an opportunity to embrace and understand God's love unless they first go through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time someone preaches the word of God, what they're really doing is giving somebody enough grace to make a decision. You can't make a decision for something good unless the option of good actually exists in the realm of evil. So, for instance, if we're all in the darkness, I mean, we don't even know what light is until it shined on us. And that's what happens with the gospel. We're going into a dark world, shining light. People can now see where they're really at, how to walk, what to do, where to talk, how to live, and they can walk towards it, okay? People can't see or enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And that's very important. Another thing about the kingdom is that, and I kind of alluded to it somewhat, but we're in a spiritual war, okay? And the enemy wants the same territory that God wants, okay? And that's why the enemy is strategic and vigilant, going around sending his demons in the music and the workplaces. And God is saying, okay, look, like, I want my messages to be in the music, on the media, and so forth. But that can't happen unless we entertain the idea that we're in a spiritual war. There's a kingdom that's trying to overthrow God's, and we have to allow God's kingdom to reign in us and to set up his kingdom on earth. And so that's a third thing. A fourth thing is love. How can we really say we love our neighbor, fulfill the law? The Bible says the entire law and the prophets hangs on these two things, that you love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, by this they will know you're my disciple if you have love towards another, John 3:13-35. You know, a sad reality, and this is just a segue, in Genesis chapter 4, 9-10, you know, Cain asked an interesting question when he killed Abel. When God said, where's your brother? He said to God, am I my brother's keeper? The answer was yes. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Now, what a shame. What a tremendous shame to know that your next door neighbor is going through a divorce, but you did nothing. Or what a shame to walk down the street in L.A. and see Skid Row with thousands of people living on blocks, 5th Street, 6th Street. I was there. I visited L.A. And nobody, I mean, I'm not saying nobody. Let me take that back. There are a few people trying to reach out to them. But these people need the Lord. How can we say we love God and we can't even help the very poor in our own backyard? I mean, no man has seen God at all. So how can, I mean, we're singing praises, speaking in tongues, jumping around and beating the drums and going to church every Sunday in our Sunday best, and yet there's poor, suffering people out there that never grew up with Jesus Christ, don't know what love means because their mom was a crack addict, their father was an abuser or a pimp, and we are going to church, sitting around, in our Mercedes Benz. And we can't even go and spend at least 1 hour a week to talk to these people. I mean, I'm not talking about giving money. I'm not talking about bringing them in your house. At least talk to them about Jesus Christ. I mean, even 1 John chapter 4 spells it out very clearly. I mean, it talks about love, what real love is. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God. At any time, if we love one another, God dwells in us. Now, that's important. If we love one another, God dwells in us. If we love one another. So when we share the gospel, what we're really doing is we're saying, I am my brother's keeper. It is my response. That person is in darkness, and unless I give it to them, they're going straight to hell, which is my fifth point. If we don't preach the gospel, people are on their way to hell. I don't know what the reigning theology is. I hear a lot of stuff now, but the Bible mentions over and over that there is a place of suffering and the torment where the beast and the false prophet are. These are human beings, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And anyone that was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into that lake of fire. Now, that means that there is going to be a judgment day. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 to 10 highlights that this judgment day is coming. It's coming. It's coming so quickly, like a thief in the night, that some of us are going to be left behind. Some of us are going to be begging and weeping and gnashing our teeth at those moments, and it's going to be too late. 2 Peter chapter 2 says something so scary, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it says if God didn't spare the angels that sinned, if God didn't even spare the old world, if God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemn them, like, if God is willing to do that, then guess what? Like, there's going to be a recompense in this world for all their ungodly deeds. And the sad reality is they're blinded and they don't know. They don't realize. And why do people live in sin? Is because they're looking for the same thing you're looking for, just in the wrong direction. And so the gospel is the only thing. It's like the remedy. I mean, I'm hearing about the Zika virus. They have no cure. And we hear about HIV and all these viruses going around with no cure. We actually have the cure to the greatest virus that caused all the it's the root problem, the root disease to every disease out there. It's sin. Sin is what brought all of these things around. And we have the cure, which is the gospel, through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, paid the penalty, and is giving us his life, eternal life to live inside of you. John chapter 6, 47 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has everlasting life." So, I mean, you know, as an evangelist, as a pastor, as a church planner, people call me a lot of things, apostle. I mean, it's not about the titles. I'm a simple man that accepted the gospel in a jail cell. And, you know, God is using me, and I'm humble today. I mean, I was praying. I'm like, man, like, God is using me. And God wants to use you. He wants you to reflect him. He wants you to obey his commands. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom, to be an ambassador. You know, you're an ambassador for the United States representing Barack Obama in another country. You're treated amazing. Got your own car, got a nice place to live. You get paid well. You got dental, health benefits. I mean, that's an earthly kingdom. Think about what you would receive from the Lord, and it's not about that, by working for the King of all kings. So spreading the gospel is a reflection of his walk. It's being in obedience to the Lord that we claim to serve. It's establishing God's kingdom of love and order and of grace. It's showing forth true love. You cannot say you love somebody if you've never shared the gospel, knowing they're going to hell, knowing they're suffering, and you didn't even tell them about Jesus. On top of it, they're going to hell without the gospel. You know, so those are some reasons, that keep me on the streets, that keep me doing what I'm doing. And, you know, beyond all of that, my friends, I mean, I just love the Lord. And, you know, even if I were to sit back one day and say, you know what, when he gives you the Holy Spirit, even if you stop preaching one day, there's going to be a yearning inside to do what Christ wanted you to do, because Christ is living inside of you. So if you're a Christian today and you have no yearning to witness, if you have no cry to see people saved, you know, I think it's a good time to check yourself before you wreck yourself, you know, like Dazzlefx years ago, who sang that hip-hop song. Because if you never check to see whether you're even in the faith, if you don't even have those desires that should be natural inside of you because you're born again, you don't need to tell a child to whine and cry for his food, because it's natural, it's nature. You don't have to tell a human being to be selfish, because it's nature. When you have the nature of God living inside of you, you have a natural inclination to reach out to the lost. And so, you know what? It's really God's grace through the accepting of Jesus Christ that gives me the passion and gives me the love. And, you know, this has just become a part of my life. And, you know, I can tell you, it's one of the scriptures I'm going to leave with you very quickly. Jesus said, if we confess him before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. When you share the gospel, you're being confessed over and over. You got problems in your life, share the gospel. You're going to be confessed. You're going to be brought right to the throne of the Lord. He's going to have extra grace upon your life. And you're going to be so fulfilled in seeing people's lives transformed that you won't even notice your problems anymore. I guarantee your problems will vanish when you start to see people transformed. That's all I got to say about why I believe, the gospel is so essential and why I do what I do.
Amen, amen. You know, guys, if you're tuning for the first time, the number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. We're talking to Pastor David Lynn's special guest, and the title of today's show is titled, Why Spreading the Gospel of Jesus Christ is Very Essential. Now, Pastor, you talked about a number of great points that you touched upon that I really wanted to delve into more detail. And I want to talk about kingdom building. I think we've had a real minor conversation about this. And I'm noticing these days a lot of pastors are more concerned about playing golf on Monday morning than they are about evangelizing the lost, and that they're more interested in church business versus expanding the kingdom. The church is not a building. The church is an organic body. We are the church. And so, how the church has been affected with this type of mentality?
Well, here's the thing. You said something that I don't exactly agree with, and I know what you meant, so I agree with you on based on what you meant, but I've heard on the streets that it says that we are the church, and yes, we are the church, but we individually are the temples of God, and when we come together, you know, the church is a collective body, and it doesn't matter, it's not about the building, and I know you probably meant the same thing. I just want to clarify something. So the problem that I'm seeing here is with the pastors and their buildings and their programs and the golfing and stuff is that church today has become a routine or some kind of like a social activity or a club. And to be honest, to run a club requires a lot of, coordination and planning and so forth like that. And that takes away and drains out the real passion of what this was all about to begin with. I believe these pastors must have started out with the passion but got boggled into this kind of game of keeping a club going. And I think that's what the real problem is. And what pastors really need to start to do is start to release other people in the ministry and stop making it about them alone, because listen, they're only one gift out of the many, and they need to start delegating, have more than one pastor, a teamwork. And when you start sharing the load, then you can start to really reflect on why am I even in this to begin with? I think a lot of pastors are living unbalanced lives, and they're trying to take the whole load on the church on their own. So that's one problem. But another problem is that people don't realize that they are all called to be little e evangelists. Everybody is called to be a witness. And it's not about just going to the church. And that's one of the big problems, is that church has become what we call, a Sunday kind of function where we come for 1 hour and we think that we did God's service. But being the temple of the living God is also being a priest. And a priest is someone who reconciles others to God. So being that temple that burns all day with the fire of the Lord means that we need to do sacrifices. And the Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And a sacrifice for what? To be like Christ. And I already explained, to be like Christ is to be a fisher of men. To be a fisher of men means that we're winning souls. The Bible calls us a royal priesthood. And so I think it's getting back to the understanding that it's not just a pastor sitting up on a pulpit, but even the pastor on the pulpit is called to reconcile people. Okay, not he's called to shepherd people, but he's called to lead by example. And that means that he's also a person that's passionate and burdened with the same passion that Jesus Christ has. And So that's what I think. It's just it's the programs, it's the finances of the building, you know, that they ended up getting themselves bogged into, and it's also just the laity versus clergy mentality where people think the only one that can actually do ministry is the pastor, which is just not true.
Amen. Absolutely. Minister Dale, question for you, sir. Do you think that evangelism is dying? We heard Pastor Lynn talk about, you know, why he does what he does, and, you know, and the need for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as you see today, do you think the gospel is, I mean, the evangelism is, the act and the work of evangelism is actually minimizing and dying out, or is it, what do you think about that?
I kind of have mixed feelings about it. I think it's transforming, it's changing. But in the fact that it's changing, sometimes, you know, as he alluded to, sometimes you can lose the heartbeat of what you originally started in. And to give an example, I have a lot of, you know, friends, you know, that do ministry. But sometimes, you know, my brother and I, we were sitting there saying, sometimes it seems like what has happened is that everybody's trying to make ministry and church convenient. You know, you're concerned with how do I reach the lost, but you're trying to do it by the devices of the world, meaning you only want to use social media. You want to have a halfway church, meaning you have a service every, you know, every other week or a little gathering here or there. And, you know, instead of being disciplined and diligent to get up and go to church and do the things that you used to do ministry on a day-to-day basis, now you just want to watch church on the internet all day. Now you just want to come up with your little soundbite gospel as to, let me think of the nice little cute phrase I can use to share. And all of that is good and well. But what happens is if you, at least for me, I feel like a lot of things have lost that same fire where we may know more now, we may have more revelation than we've ever had before, but in so doing, sometimes you can lose the hunger and the fire, so that even I'm not even pleased, let's say, with gospel music anymore. I mean, and it's not that it's horrible. It's not that. It's just that there's something that's just missing in the way that people now approach it. And so when you ask me about evangelism, I feel the same way about that. It's not that people aren't doing work anymore. It's the fact that I think that we're trying so hard to be all things to all people that we have lost the distinction of who we are, that we are Christ-like. I remember I read an article real quick, and it was a young lady. She was in her 20s, and she was saying, hey, you know, if you want to be relevant to millennials, stop trying to be relevant to us. You know, because if we wanted something that looked like the world, we go to the world. But we want the church to be the church. You know, those things that we grew up with, you know, when you grew up with praise and worship or devotional, you grew up memorizing your Bible scriptures. You grew up with the things that with communion, you know, with offering and things like that. Don't try to change all of those things that made the body of Christ the body of Christ. You know, the heartbeat, the power, the prayer, you know, the praise, the worship, all of those things that made us unique and made us stand out. Let's not lose that in trying to be all things to all people. And I think, you know, so I think it's changing, but sometimes I feel like we may be losing something in the way, you know, in the changes that we've made. And we just got to get back to just being that pure heartbeat and being unique and uncommon.
Amen. All right. You know, question to you, Pastor Lynn. I've watched a few other street evangelists, and I've experienced, you know, I know a few myself, and it's almost as if they're, you know, they're evangelizing, which is a good thing, but it's as if they're actually trying to win an argument. And you talked about having love, and of course you have to speak the truth in love. But then, you know, it kind of seems as though the message is actually it's being lost because the personality is overtaking and it's getting very confrontational. And so as we evangelize, we're going to come across people that have other different beliefs and are strong in their beliefs. And And how do we develop that mindset to transmit the gospel of Christ Jesus in love?
Well, you know what? When I teach my evangelism course, I mean, I always let people know, like, you need to know who you really are and what saves you. It's all about your theology. There's two types of theologies in the Christian world. There's one that believes that we are saved by grace and His grace alone. And then there's another theology that, you know, and I don't know everybody's perspectives here, and I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I think it affects a lot of things we do. There's another theology that where people feel, okay, fine, we're saved by grace, but it's based on our salvation is really based on how well I perform. Now, while that sounds like there's some truth in the matter of, in the sense that, okay, true grace produces fruit. Without faith, without works is dead. But we have to understand that God's fruit comes from the Holy Ghost, not from our own self-effort. And so where am I going with this? If you know that you're saved by grace and you know that you're a sinner saved by His grace, then your attitude now is that it's not how good I am, it's how good He is. I'm a wretch. I deserve the worst. And so when we go out there knowing that, okay, it's not about how good I am, I'm saved by Him, then we have a lot more humility. We're looking at people on the same journey as we are. It's not about I need to exalt myself, I'm more righteous, I'm better than you because I'm living a holy life. Look at you, sinners. But if we go out there thinking, okay, I got to work it up and I got to be better, then we have a sort of pride and we start to judge people and criticize because look how holy I am and look how bad you are. And because of that, you know, you're going to hell, but hey, man, I'm not because look at my life. And that's part of the fuel of what you see on the streets with some street preachers who come out very self-righteous and arrogant because they think they're better than everybody. But the difference with me is when I go out on the streets, I don't think I'm better than anybody. I think the only difference between me and them is that I've accepted Jesus Christ, His grace. And so I see them just like me. It's like, you guys are just like me. You guys are looking for love. And you're looking for everything just like I am. It's just, I found that in Jesus, and you're still looking at it here. How about I just show you, you know, where you can find it? And so my attitude is different because I know I'm fallen. I know I make mistakes. I do my own self-check every day, and I realize, man, if it wasn't by God's grace, man, I'd be lost. And even Christians today, even the most holiest Christians, I think they're so righteous. I mean, if you ask them seriously, do you ever sin? They're going to say, yeah. Do you make mistakes? Did you make a mistake recently? Of course. So what does that say? Does that say you're not saved today? What does that mean? Like, you know what? And I think a lot of people just don't realize that, hey, man, God loves them despite their imperfections. God loves you in your good and your bad.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think we have to go out there knowing that we're saved by His grace. And if we're grounded on His grace, that's why, you know, there's not many street preachers that go out and cast out demons and lay hands on the sick. And it's not because I'm great. It's simply because I'm saved by His grace. And I know who I am because of Christ. I rest in His righteousness. So when I go out there, I lay my hands on the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. And demons leave, people recover, because I rest on His grace. But a lot of other street preachers, they're resting on their own self-righteousness, and all they have is words. And that's the problem.
Amen.
That's the problem.
And, you know, Pastor Lynn, I remember a video that I watched you in, and which leads me to my next question. I know you're in the streets and the trenches out there. I'm not sure how, if you do it every day, but on a weekly basis, and I'm sure you come across barriers that opposition. And I remember a particular video that interested me, you know, when you were actually ministering in the street corner, And a guy had stepped up to you. He said that, "I know your family. You better shut up and stop preaching right now." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that situation? Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was a demon manifesting, because that must have been a territorial spirit that was manifesting that error to try to shut you down. And so, it's important. What you just said was so pithy, because it's so important to know who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know, and you're easily intimidated or easily bullied by the enemy, you're not going to stand a chance.
That's right. I mean, you know. That guy that came up to me, man, like, it caught me. It caught me off guard. There was a point in me that you can't really see it in the video, but there was a point in me that was a bit shaken. I mean, I was preaching. I was not expecting that at all. And as soon as I turned around, there was this guy sitting there and telling me, like, you know, it was my father. And this guy's eyes, like, literally came out of his socket. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And, you know, the only thing that kept me was literally knowing that, you know what, my family might be unrighteous, I might be, but the blood of Jesus is covering me. And it's because of him that you can't touch me. And that's what gave me a little more confidence at the end.
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Minister Pam, do you have any questions for Pastor Lynn?
Well, I like what both gentlemen were saying, minister, that you were both ministering. What caught my attention when you were talking about the humility brings me to think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist stayed humble. He always seemed to put Christ first, even when the Pharisees and the Jewish were coming to him, questioning him, he always kept saying that there's one coming greater than I. And that's what I really enjoyed about John the Baptist, is that he stayed focused, and he always seemed to put Christ first by telling them that I baptize with water, but the one that's coming after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so that came to my mind, because I just studied that last night. So it's just amazing that you were bringing that up. And then also I wanted to just state that I saw a movie called City of Lights. And I believe it in that movie, it showed people who were evangelizing, and there were some that were evangelizing, condemning people to hell, and they were coming with that approach, where there were another group of people who were coming in love. And there is a scripture in 1 John, I believe it's 1 John chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So,
right.
You know, when you're walking in truth, like you said, you're walking in authority and you're walking in humility, you know, you're walking knowing that we're just humble servants of the Lord. And our desire is that others will come to that same knowledge. You know, you're walking to you, you want to bring that truth, you know, to others so that they can accept Christ. But that, there were some good points that you made about being humble and not having a self-righteous mentality. And I like what the other brother was saying, too, in the different approaches that you see in the churches, in terms of how they're trying to reach the world. I really feel that we should get back to the old school, the old way of doing things, back to prayer, back to ministering the gospel, and not trying to do it as the world is doing it. And the music has definitely changed. If you look at a lot of the songs now, the songs are not focused on worshiping the Lord and ushering his presence. What they're doing is they're just entertaining us. They're not ministering to the Lord. And in order to get the Lord, you know, you want to get his attention. And that's what David did. David was a man that sought after God's own heart. And that's what I'm hearing these men of God say. You know, they're men after God's heart. They're concerned. They have compassion, and they have concern for the souls out there that need to hear the gospel. But you do have to come in the right spirit. You do have to come with the humbleness, and you do have to not, and one thing you can't do is forget where we came from. Because at one point, we were, you know, in sin and not able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to win those souls for Christ if we continue to walk and move just as people like John the Baptist did. And the, you know, as you read about the men of God in the scriptures, how they stayed humble, how they stayed focused, and they were able to win souls. But we do need to do it the way that the Holy Spirit is leading us and not according to what the flesh is. And then that's what I'm seeing, where the church is losing its favor, it's losing its salt, its anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to destroy yokes. That's what's casting out these demon spirits is moving through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just so blessed by what all of you have been saying so far.
You know, Pam, you said some important things right there, and this is my next question to Pastor Lynn, and also to anyone else who wants to take the question. You know, the Holy Spirit knows the hearts of men better than we do, so we should definitely trust His leading more than our own when it comes to evangelizing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm reminding about Acts 8, I think it's Acts 8, 26 through 40, when Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they were led into an unlikely location. So Pastor Lynn, whoever wants to answer this question, how much so is it important for us to rely upon the leading of the Holy Spirit when we are evangelizing?
Very important, because it's because people aren't led of the Holy Spirit why we have so much division within the body of Christ. We got denominations that don't believe certain gifts of the Spirit are even relevant for today, but if God doesn't speak prophetically today, then what is calling those pastors into that pulpit? Who started their church if nobody called them because God doesn't speak prophetically? Acts chapter 16 talks about some of the disciples wanting to preach the gospel in Asia Minor, and God saying, no, I don't want you to go there. So we might have good intentions to do things, but if it's in the wrong timing and in the wrong place with wrong motives or founded on the flesh, you know, we could actually be pushing the message of the gospel back in that neighborhood many years simply because of the way we do it and why we do it and the timing of why we do it. And so, I mean, we're called to evangelize by command, yes, but we all have our sphere of influence. And I think a lot of people try to be, whether they're aspiring pastors, they try to be T.D. Jakes when that's not their calling. I mean, T.D. Jakes is himself. And we need to remember that God's calling, God's leading is going to be through our gifting and His timing. And, you know, we just have to pay attention to that. So, yes, we walk out, we establish God's communion, we fulfill His command. But when we walk out, we have to always be prayerfully minded and say, Lord, do I talk to the guy on my left or do I talk to the guy on my right? Okay, do I say this message to the people in front of me, or do I rebuke, or do I speak mercy? And that's where experience and discernment is going to come in, and that's where it's so important for every evangelist to have their own personal time with the Lord and have a foundation for themselves, because without that, they won't even be able to discern what they need to do on any given day.
Absolutely. I want to take a call real quick. I want to take a call from the 312 area code. Hello, caller from the 312 area code. Do you have a question or comment for the radio show? All right. I guess nobody just want to listen. That's okay. All right. So my next question is this. Now, Pastor, you touched upon this real quick when you mentioned that, evangelizing the gospel is going to sometimes make us uncomfortable, because we're going to have to talk to people that society may seem or deem as being detestable. And so, it reminds me of Luke 15. I think it's Luke 15, 1 through 7, when people were appalled that Jesus ate with sinners. You know, and so, I mean, evangelizing means we're going to have to talk to, you know, prostitutes or pimps or, you know, homeless people or people that smell bad, real bad and are real dirty. I mean, you know, we really have to, and this is where the love of Christ really has to kick in. What's your comment about that? About developing that wider kind of attitude when it comes to
the real problem behind that is a lack of understanding of the gospel and a lack of receiving the gospel in our own lives. And I'll tell you why. If we have a problem with who we reach out to, what we're really doing is we're judging people on the inside, creating up a dichotomy of I'm righteous and they're not. And what that means is, again, we haven't received and understood the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Just if you just do a Google search on BibleGateway.org and type in grace, you'll be surprised how much times grace comes up. The Bible says it's the gospel of grace. We're saved by grace. It's through his grace. Be rooted and grounded in grace. Everything is grace. And so if we don't understand the grace of God, then when we look at people, we're going to be judging them on class. We're going to be looking at, well, that guy's a black guy. I'm better because I'm white. Or I'm better, I'm a white guy. Or I'm a black guy, that guy's white. So I don't want to preach to him. Or that guy's poor, therefore, he's scary. I don't want to do it. I mean, what we're really doing is we're not acknowledging that we're saved by grace. We don't realize how poor we really are. We don't realize how ugly we really are. And that's the real gospel. The real gospel is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. If you don't understand that you are not righteous and you are no better than the poorest man on this planet, you probably haven't even accepted the gospel or haven't been properly discipled. You might not even be a Christian if you start creating class differences between people. Now, I'm not going to say that that's always the case, but that's something to consider. Because if we go out and we think we're better than people and we're judging people, that means our theology on salvation is wrong. It's flawed because we're basing our salvation on good deeds or our lineage or our social status. When John chapter 1, verses 12 says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, not born of this, not of blood, but born of God. And so it's nothing to do with your status or your position. It's simply because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand the blood, you don't understand the cross, you don't understand grace, then it's very difficult to say that you're a real Christian.
Wow, amen. Minister Pam, what do you think about Pastor David Lynn's comment?
Powerful. He speaks with boldness. He speaks with, just with authority and, the truth. That's what I was just reading. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And, you can tell when it's the Word of God. You know, when you hear the Word of God being taught like that, administered on that level, people can receive you because they can feel your sincerity. You know, they can feel that you're not condemning them. Have you ever tried to, say a kind word or say something to someone or speak the word of God to someone and they take it and they manipulate what you just said? And sometimes it's either because they're not ready for it or they're not receiving it. You know, they may not feel that you're speaking from a place of humility. You know, you kind of got to fill people out and you got to kind of let the Holy Spirit give you discernment. But, from the way he's teaching and ministering, you can tell he's got a humble heart. He has a heart for God. He loves the people of God. And, he hasn't forgotten where he came from. And I think people can pick that up. They can sense that. And even if they can't sense it, they will feel the love of God coming through just the way he's sharing the gospel with them, and he's going to be able to touch more lives. You know, just like a lot of us, we have a love for God and we want to share that gospel. So we have to really go in gingerly. We have to, not have a respect of persons. And I've seen that in times throughout my life, times when I didn't even know I was going to share the gospel with people.
but it just flowed out of you at that moment. And that's what the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you have to be open for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives you, you know, puts your heart to share something with someone, and you do it out of the as the Holy Spirit is leading you, a person will pick up on that, and they will sincerely receive that. And even if they're not ready to receive it right then and there, it'll be planted. It'll be a seed planted in them, you know, that can be watered and give increase. And somewhere down the road, that person will remember those words that were spoken into their life. And that's where the anointing comes in, you know.
Amen.
So I just think it's
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. You know, my next question, Pastor Lynn, is this, and anyone else can chime in as well, is that, and this is one of the unfortunate sad truths that I've experienced, that is that not everyone we want to believe is gonna want to believe. And so, you know, the truth is both sobering and encouraging, but also, you know, knowing that, you know, that some that we try to reach out to may not want to receive the gospel at all. They want nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as sad as that may seem, that could be members in our own family and people that we know or love, and, you know, or people that we know, strangers that we know really do love, do need the saving grace of Christ Jesus. And so it's kind of hard sometimes not to personalize that. You know, and I'm sure, Pastor Lynn, you've experienced that in your ministry.
Definitely. I mean, you know, I wrestle with it sometimes because I was just thinking about this very same thing about 2 days ago and asking myself, why is it that so many people are sick? You know, and why is it that some people have these terminal illnesses? And, you know, I was saying to myself, you know, I believe God desires to bring salvation to everybody. The Bible says it's God's desire that none should perish, but all have eternal life. But the reality, like you said, is some people just don't get saved. And it's the same thing with healing. I believe salvation is at the core of every type of healing. I mean, it's bringing things back in order, saving us, reconciling us. But yet, not everybody gets healed. And so, what is the real crux of the matter? I think that God allows people to be in certain positions as a sort of message to the rest of humanity. It's a part of our salvation to awaken our soul to draw closer to the Lord and to love even stronger. And so when we see the unsaved and the rebellious and those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ, what that means is that this world doesn't have enough love. We need to get back on our knees. Remember Jesus said, when the disciples came back to Jesus and he said, why can't we cast out these demons? And he said, oh, you of little faith. He said, this kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting. A lot of us, number one, don't even care enough to even preach the gospel. But the second thing is, when we do preach the gospel and people don't even listen, how many of us can sincerely say we're going to go on our knees and fast and pray for that person to get saved? Not many of us. Not many of us care that deeply. And so they're going to stay that way because they're bound by some strong demons that, unless somebody surrenders their whole heart to love, that person's going to stay there because that person needs a deeper level of love. I believe God wants to see them saved. But the question is, do we have the same heartbeat of God? And we have a choice just like they have a choice. Now, I think that, this is just my thought, I think that if we surrender to the love of God like Jesus Christ, sinners are going to want to flock to you, just like they did with Jesus Christ. Now, not everybody gave their life to the Lord with Jesus Christ, okay? So that is the truth. People can still harden their hearts, and this is a part of the mystery that we don't understand. But I do believe a lot of people who are hardened could be unhardened if we start to intercede for them and show a deeper level of love, which we're not doing as a body of Christ.
Absolutely, amen. And, you know, Pastor, I personally have had a lot of challenges when talking or ministering to people from the LGBT community. And I know you have done – I've seen a lot of your videos where, you know, you have a lot of experience in that area. What have you found, in, you know, when ministering to that particular group of people?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. Number one, Romans chapter 1 says God gave them over to perform their lust. That means they have gone so deep that – God allowed them to go that deep. But a second thing, and this is the approach I take, is not the condemning approach, like, oh, you know, you're condemned. If they're so condemned, there's no point of preaching at them. You see, a lot of people, you know, point the fingers at them, hit them over the head. If they're already condemned, then leave them alone. But the approach that I take is this, is that they have been so broken and wounded. Many of them have been assaulted, sexually abused, all their lives misunderstood, mistreated, and all they wanted was acceptance. Nobody gave it to them because they were different. Some of them may have been born with a spirit on them and has caused them to go the path that they have, and it's not even their fault. And so it's, all they know is that they were born like that because the earliest moment of their life, they had those desires. And so what they need is somebody to come alongside them. I'm not saying don't preach the gospel, because I preach the gospel, but to reason with them in love and let them know in the most tangible way that you care for them. And that it's really hard with the LGBT community because many of them are like cross dogs. They've been abused for so long that any kind of love that you give them, they're going to snap at you and walk away or hate you. And so it's really going to take consistency. And we've seen homosexuals give their lives to the Lord, not many, not on flocks and droves, but many, you know, a few of them have turned their life to the Lord through our preaching at Young and Dundas. And, you know, and many have been inquiring and engaging in conversations that they normally wouldn't, simply because of our approach. And what we try to show them is, look, you're no different than me. You have your struggles just like me. Your struggles different than mine. But both of us can be transformed by the grace of God if we simply call on His name and come to Him. He understands you. He knows you. He can fix the mess. He can heal the heart. It's not about me being better than you and your sins greater than mine. It's simply that there's a God who loves both of us. Do you want to at least be introduced to Him? Do you want to find out about Him? Do you want to know that there's grace available? Do you believe in miracles? Because God can transform you. Now, of course, they're going to ask you, so does God approve of my lifestyle? Well, you know what? You have to be honest. You have to be truthful. But the Bible says, speak the truth in love. See, you know, always minister with grace. So you got to somehow find a way to communicate to them that God loves you. He's still righteous. He's still holy. He still has a standard. But understand that God speaks these things to protect you. It's in love that he says what He says. Not to bash you, not to discriminate against you. Because, listen, we all have flaws. But wouldn't it be better if we had order in our lives and things made sense and we had purpose? And God wants you to see you fulfill your purpose. And the only way to do that is to understand why we do it, what we're looking for, and how to fulfill that deep need on the inside. And the only way we can get in alignment with what God is really doing is by embracing His word and the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Absolutely. I want to take a quick call from the 312 area code. Hello, caller from the 312 area code. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Really quickly, one of the points that was made earlier was about the church going back to what it was. And me being a millennial myself, Pastor Glenn, I was loving what actually wasn't used, the other gentleman. And I love what you said about going back not being so filled with gospel music and things of that nature. But there's a question, because the church is expanding, and there's a necessary expansion that needs to happen. An example in particular, there's a church that I know of that had a younger audience start coming to church regularly, but falling away because there weren't that many ministries that appealed to them per se. So they developed a surfing ministry, and the surfing ministry caused a division within the church. The younger people loved it. They thought it was cool. They could stay on the beach, read the word, you know, drink Pepsi and surf all day. And then the older crowd was saying that that's not really the church. It's not a ministry. There's nowhere that's found in the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. So with that point, can you just expand upon where that line should be drawn? How far is too far, so we know where the church core should always remain?
That question for me or the other gentleman?
Really
for you, Pastor.
Open forum, whoever.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. You just hesitated. I didn't know if you was going to answer or not.
You can go.
Okay, well, here's the thing. With that, it's not so much about the mechanics. See, we can sit there and argue about the mechanics all day, whether or not it's about surfing or whether or not it's about being in the church building. But really, what it comes down to more than anything is, what is the heartbeat behind it all? What is the focus behind it? See, if the focus is with this surfing group is a true heart to bring people into true discipleship and fellowship, and you're meeting them where they are, then guess what? Then that's where you start. Now, you may want to, after some point, you know, start bringing them into the fold, start graduating them into more of the things eating the strong meat of the worm. You know, if the thing that attracted them was that, hey, we can go to the beach and we find people that are like us, that's fine. But where you just don't want to get stuck just eating, you know, the milk of the word, drinking the milk of the word. You want to start getting to the point where they are eating that strong meat and you're having that discipleship so that you're building them up. And my whole contention is that I've seen a lot of people do the things, let's say like the surfing, but where they stopped is they stopped at the point of attracting them, and they didn't start developing them, because we had that same issue even within our church. And I noticed that a lot of people that grew up in my age, they stayed with the team ministry. So we grew out of team ministry, but they stayed and became team ministries, and they stayed right in that little pocket and didn't grow out of it. Where I noticed that other people who were coming from other places, same age as me, now had graduated into most of the adult ministries and eating the strong meat of the word and, you know, moving forward. And so that becomes the challenge. You don't want to just get stuck right there. So it's not about the mechanics. It's just about, it's in my opinion, it's about discipleship. You know, because if you can create yourself a strong Christian, it doesn't matter whether the church is on the beach or if the church is in the building. It is a strong, solid foundation. If the foundation is the grace of God, the word of God, the faith of God, the belief of God. And when the focus is something else, then you don't get that. We actually had come to a point where we had a large team ministry. This is years after I left team ministry. But most of them were coming for the show, you know. But then once the show stopped, they all left. It's like when Jesus, once he said, all right, I'm not doing no more miracles, and people were like, oh, well, okay, I'm not here anymore. And he looked at his disciples, are y'all leaving too? And they was like, you got the word of life. Where are we going to go? You want to get people to the point where that's where they are. Wait a minute. This is the word of life. This is what I need. You just got to get them past that point of just being there just for the show. And I think that's the line. It's not the mechanics of where the church is or what you're doing. It's about whether or not you have grown people to the point of that they are eating the strong meat of the word and they are living by the word of God. That's what they're making their living by.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else like to add to that answer that question, or?
Yeah, I think what he said, you know, it had a lot of merit there, and I just wanted to add one thing to the whole story here is that we got to be careful with our own traditions of what we think a Christian should look like. Now, biblically, we know what a Christian should look like. Someone who is sold out for the kingdom of God, someone that is a fisher of men, someone that's striving to live a holy life and to be pleasing unto the Lord, holy and acceptable unto Him. I mean, that we know that Christians should be modest. We know that Christians should, exhibit godly behavior. Okay, we know those things, but those things can fit within a Christian surfer. In my opinion, it can also fit within a Christian DJ, because we have to understand that God's army is strategic. If the enemy has his generals in every realm, in media, on video, on radio, in the car sales, in the doctor's office, in the lawyer's office, if the enemy is so strategic that he can get his workers in every place of the world, don't you think that God wants his workers in every part of the world too? There's a need for Christian doctors. There's a need for Christian lawyers. There's a need for Christian sports people. There's a need for Christian DJs. I mean, and at least that's in my opinion. I mean, I wrestled with a lot of these thoughts for many years, and I know there's a lot of churches that would try to mold people into certain kind of look, and they have to, they can't work in certain occupations. Now, certain occupations are clearly wrong, like being a prostitute. You can't be a Christian prostitute. I know there are some people that claim to be Christian prostitutes, but that's just straight licentiousness and wickedness. But when it comes to general occupations, I mean, we got to be careful in what we're teaching the young people, because to say that, well, you know what, you know, you can't drink pop. I mean, how many pastors are big and fat on the pulpit? John Hagee preaching a hard message. The guy's overweight. Now, no offense, but I see a lot of pastors out there. They're all eating candies and chocolate bars and overeating at all those big buffets in the United States. I mean, that's the same thing as drinking Pepsi and pop. I mean, and so there's a lot of hypocrisy in the church. We condemn one behavior but do the other thing in another way. And so, you know, how many Christians, you know, watch the football and the basketball, and yet we're condemning the young people who want to go surfing on the beach? I mean, you can be a strong Christian and have a hobby on the side, as long as your focus is the kingdom of God. God's not expecting you not to have a balanced life. That's why He gave a Sabbath day. That's why we rest for 8 hours every night. I mean, that's why we have sexual organs that have pleasure in marriage, of course. But if God simply just wanted us to live mundane lives without pleasure, then He would have made the sexual organs without pleasure. He would have given us a tongue without taste buds. But God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be happy. It's just happiness in His will, happiness and joy and pleasure in moderation. What did Paul the Apostle say? Everything is good, but not everything is beneficial. He's like, you know, to each man, you know, let every man have his own faith. You know, some men might say, you know, it's okay to eat meat. Some others say it's not. You only be a vegetarian. That doesn't matter. The kingdom of God is not about food or drink, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we got to establish, number one, we're saved by grace. And number two, we got to recognize that God works differently in everybody and has different ministries for everybody. Some people are more adventurous than other people. Some people are more techie than other people. I'm not going to force everybody to be a techie because a techie looks more smart. We need some dumb Christians. What I mean by dumb Christians, let me take that back for a second.
No, we understand what you mean.
let me just say what I really meant. I didn't mean dumb Christians. Forgive me for anybody who's listening. What I meant is we need some adventurous Christians that are not so educated and scholarly because, listen, man, who wants to hang around a nerd all day? I mean, sometimes you want to have that guy that loves to have jokes and bring joy and laughter to the crew. I mean, those people are just as important. What did the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You know, the weakest person sometimes is the most important, just like the physical body, right? So everybody has their own calling and gifting, and we got to support them and release them and not be so judgmental and say, hey, man, you're surfing, you're weak, or hey, man, why are you watching a movie? Hey, man, you're not strong enough, because if you're really strong, you should be like me. You should – no, I mean – what will tell if somebody's mature or not is, are they living in sin? Are they justifying licentious behaviors? Are they spending time seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I think we can judge on those things, but not necessarily by how a person chooses to have downtime. At least that's right. My take.
Yeah, I agree.
Amen,
with you
wholeheartedly. Amen, amen, amen. You know, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, and Dee, please hang on the line. Don't go. I want to go to Sister Pam. Sister Pam, what do you think of today's show? And thanks for coming to the show. What's your closing comments?
Stay focused. Stay open to the move of God. You know, stay humble. You know, continue to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, help people find their way to Christ, because you know, a lot of people are not, you know, I mean, there are some out there who might have church background, who, you know, have an understanding of God, but may not have the ability to, you know, totally submit to God because they need a positive role model they could be lacking, or they may have seen people who profess to be Christians, but yet not really having that sincere walk with the Lord, and so that can cause a stumbling block for many out there who, you know, will look at your lifestyle and say, well, if you're a Christian, if this is what it's about, this is something, I mean, why should I become a Christian? So we have to really be careful how we present ourselves. And I just believe in, if we present ourselves in love and with the true heart of God, you know, we can go out there and win those souls for Christ. And I just believe that we should continue to encourage one another to do that, because I, you know, my heart goes out to a lot of my family members. I know you were talking about family, Raz, and that seems to be one of the areas that sometimes is a struggle, because you want to see your family members saved. And just last night I came across a scripture in Proverbs 17:17, and it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And sometimes we find our greatest challenges is with our family members. You know, sometimes they're just not ready to receive it. But I believe, as the Lord is showing me, just show them love. You know, even when they don't want to hear, you know, what you have to say when it comes to scripture, because they lack understanding. I would just encourage, as I feel the Holy Spirit using me, to just show love to them and not push the word on them, but to just live the word and be you know, show them the love of God. I really believe that no matter how much adversity I have to go through, you know, with them, their heart could, you know, God can deal with their heart if I just maintain that, you know, if I maintain the right walking in love and do it in the Spirit of God. And I'm seeing them change slowly, gradually, but, you know, they're not ready for me, you know, by far, but I'm still have hope that, you know, my family can be saved. So I'm just saying that, amen, to all your listeners, that they could, your family members can be won over through our light if we just allow it to shine, you know, really bright. So that's what I would say.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Pam. Okay, Minister Dale, we real quick, got a couple more minutes. What's your closing comments?
Real quick, is, you know, is reference to some things that he even said earlier, is that, you know, we're all different, you know. We all have different lanes and different people that we can reach. And so you got to remember that we're all made in the image of Christ. So you can't just look at yourself as unworthy. Realize that God wants to take all of your interests and everything that you are and use that to reach the world. And if we just allow God to get involved in the things that we like to do, like we mentioned surfing, if you like surfing, use that to reach people. If you like DJing, like you said earlier, use that to reach people. And when we do that, we all take our avenue, we all take the lanes and the things that God has put in us and use that, and we can really make it an impact.
Amen, amen. Absolutely. Thanks for that, Minister Dale. And Dee, I know you called for a question. Were you satisfied with the answer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Lynn definitely put it all into perspective, and I thank you for that. And it's encouraging. And one of the thoughts that I had in my mind, what came to me as you were talking, your first point, Pastor Lynn, was we should minister and share the gospel because it's a reflection of our walk. And what I think is, for Jesus to be accepted by the world needs to know that he can see them on their level, wherever it is that they are. So if we're that person and he's utilizing us, then that's a definite way for the Holy Spirit to operate and Jesus to be shown in whatever that situation is, because we've been obedient and have allowed the Holy Spirit to work within us through our passions, through our hobbies or whatever, and save a soul that way. So thank you for that word. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Okay, Pastor Lynn, we're about to wrap up the show. Thanks for coming on the Can We Talk. We really appreciate you coming on. And what are your closing comments real quick?
You know, I think, for everything that was said, I mean, there's so much amazing talent in the body of Christ. And, you know, instead of picking at each other, you know, just be you and allow God to use you. And, you know, you may not be a street preacher like me or a radio person like Raz, but you know what? If you just start to recognize that God's spice for this world is in you and he's giving you a gift, right there you have a ministry right in front of you. And just do the best you can with what you have and allow that light to shine and communicate with grace. I mean, this world literally could be transformed so quick, you know, if we just realize the impact we have as being the literal spice and light of the earth. So that's all I got to say, and it's been an honor to be on this show. Thanks so much, Raz, for having me.
Oh, amen. And real quick, Pastor Lynn, I know you have some courses, evangelist courses that one can take. How would we find you, and how would we find your material and any classes or courses that you may be offering?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. If you go to a website, www.christsforgiveness.com, we just launched a new website, which is going to also have one of the few, I don't even know what's out there, live video chats for this course, so that you can not only do the course, but you're going to be able to be mentored online, live, and be a part of a network of evangelists all around the world, so that you can actually be accredited evangelist. And also, if you're looking for covering and you want to learn how to plant churches, we have a course for that. And you can get a covering through Christ Forgiveness Ministries. So it's a website, ChristsForgiveness.com, Christ in plural, Christs, forgiveness.com. And if you want to kind of see what we do, just type in Christ's Forgiveness on YouTube. We don't just have 50 videos. We have thousands of videos, brother. So, I'm not sure if you saw all of those, but go online and you can kind of see our style and what we do. And, we would love to get you involved. And that's ChristsForgiveness.com.
Amen, amen. Well, guys, if you're just tuning in, you're too late. But anyway, we're wrapping up the show. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for another great episode of Can We Talk Radio, 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Guys, have a blessed weekend, and we will see you soon. Peace.